Welcome to Off the Record, part of the Textual Healing Podcast brought to you by me, Mallory Smart. For those who don't know, I am a writer from Chicago and the editor-in-chief of Maudlin House. I also co-host another podcast with Dmitry Samarov called That Horrorcast. And most importantly, I just had a book come out from With an X Books called I Keep My Visions to Myself. The novel is about a 26-year-old musician named Stevie who is teetering on the edge of stardom. An offer for a tour propels her into a deep exploration of life's complexities, where Stevie has to face the enduring dilemma of fame or a simpler path, all while also trying to seek her tribe and where she fits in the universe. Now, I can imagine that most people would assume that I would pair this excerpt with a Fleetwood Mac song, but it actually takes place in an eerie hotel at night that Stevie goes to because she wants to just disappear. So clearly I'm matching this to the iconic song Hotel California. Here it goes. The bar she had just been led into was called the Cecil Lounge. It was another dark and moody space with a distinct vintage feel. But instead of making it seem chic, it gave off an atmosphere of decay and decadence. It was a long wooden bar, lined with stools, and surrounded by shelves of liquor bottles from all eras. She imagined that if she asked the bartender, they might even have absinthe or laudanum stashed away. The lighting was low and intimate. The walls were decorated with vintage artwork and photos from what looked like the 30s. There were several large circular booths with red velvet cushions in the center of the lounge, but only one person was hanging there. The only other people in the room were the bartender next to a mirrored wall, mixing drinks and chatting with the guest. And the guest. Despite the desperate depiction of warmth in the space, it felt dark and desolate. Stevie was finally in the right place. The guy in the booth looked like an agent type, and she overheard the bartender call him Nick. She'd met quite a few throughout her musical career, and the guest at the bar was maybe her age, wearing a feather boa with a sequined top. Another possible hooker. But Stevie wasn't there to judge. Just drink. She grabbed a stool at the opposite end of the bar to show that she was in no need of company, just alcohol. She ordered a gin martini. The bartender, Webster, was a burly but well-dressed man with a mustache and forced smile. He poured Stevie's drink expertly and slid it across the bar to her. "Thanks," Stevie said, taking a sip. "I don't think I've ever been to a place like here before." The bartender nodded. "Yeah, a lot of people haven't, but once you had, it's hard to imagine a life without such a place. It has a way of staying with you. It's got a lot of history, if you know what I mean." Stevie smiled wistfully. As she sipped her drink, Stevie took in the sights and sounds of the bar. Music got her attention. The young woman in the feather boa was now playing the piano in the corner, her fingers dancing over the keys as she sang a haunting ballad. Stevie recognized the song immediately, and she smiled as the still-possible hooker finished the last verse. "Silver Springs," Stevie said, clapping her hands. "Best flex in the history of music." "Right?" the still-anonymous chick said. "What's your name?" Stevie downed her $5 martini and told her the sad truth about her name and why she had it. "At least your name means something to someone. Fuck, it means something to a lot of people. Mine is just Lily," she finally revealed. Lily looked around to see if there was anyone else around other than Stevie, the dude in the booth, and the bartender. Seeing it was all clear, she made her way over to Stevie. "I love music. I've been playing piano at the lounge here at night for years. Something about the trashy but vintage aesthetic appeals to me. It pays shit, and I mainly just get tips, but the vibe is what I come for. It's better than any other job I've had." Lily took off her boa and took a small bump of coke that seemed to just manifest in front of them. Lily gestured to Stevie, but Stevie just shook her head and politely declined. "What's your day job?" Stevie asked, guessing it was something that the average person would want nothing to do with. "I used to be a teacher," she smiled. "Or at least I went back to school to pursue a degree and credential in education. It just never really stuck. The pay and the stress. But during a summer off, I went up to Northern California to help a friend at a medical marijuana co-op. I met a lot of interesting people. Most of them were simple and easy enough to figure out. if you choose that life, you can imagine most of the story behind it. But the children were fascinating, not so much as individuals, but their perspectives and their understanding of the world. But I guess these feral children demonstrated the effects of a factory-style education system. So, to be clear, not a teacher then? Stevie asked, confused as fuck. She waved over Webster for another martini while waiting for her new friend, Lily, to explain. I mean, not exactly. I guess, in short, I studied education, where I had to teach in order to complete the degree, spent a summer on a medical marijuana co-op, and feral children freaked me out. Only interest I took away from all of it was the effects of factory-style education. Carl Jung wrote that we don't have ideas, ideas have us. Dostoevsky toyed with this concept in his novel The Possessed. Lily took one last bump and ordered a martini too. Stevie sat, processing it all. At least this wasn't an annoying cokehead, like the fan who tried to slip a gram into her hoodie after a gig once and refused to take it back, or the New York artists who did it just to look cool. Lily was a whole other vibe, and probably not a prostitute like Stevie originally assumed. Stevie took another sip of her martini. I feel like I haven't read enough Dostoevsky. I've only read The Brothers Karamazov. I like that concept, though. My favorite is Notes from the Underground. The Underground Man is a favorite character. The Gambler is short and sweet. I love Brothers Karamazov. His life story is incredibly fascinating, Lily said rapidly. Stevie looked around the glamorous old world space and noticed the agent-looking dude who commandeered the booths talking loudly to himself. She could only assume he was wearing AirPods or some other douchebag Bluetooth-type device. Typically, she would have turned her attention back toward Lily, but eavesdropping on this guy's one-sided conversation was amusing as hell. So, I passed out. Pause. No, don't pretend Chicago is NYC and there are Chinese places open at 1 in the morning. Shy Cafe doesn't seem like a real name for an all-night El Dente El Chinese place. Pause. Chinese food here is greasy, and in China, it's not. Still yums? Pause. I make great crab rangoon, from scratch. My brother throws a pretty good fry mass party after Thanksgiving. Everyone wears pajamas and fries things. Last fry mass, my crab rangoon was on point. Even longer pause. Nah, I'm dumb like that. I could eat a little, but a lot kills me. My body is really just an instrument to carry my head from place to place. What in the fuck was he talking about and who was he saying it to? What's going on in my head isn't impressing my body much. Pause for one hot minute. Which of my ridiculous comments are you questioning? Stevie finally looked away from this guy. If he was an agent, he was the weirdest agent she'd ever seen. And what the fuck was Fry Mass all about? She decided to write it down on her notes app for her to reflect on at a different time. When she turned to grab her phone, she noticed that Lily was still talking at her, slumped over at a 50-degree angle and playing with the olive in her drink. Yeah, at the beginning of the year, my friends did this shamanism healing ritual. We went to a karate dojo near People's Park, brought sleeping bags and pillows, dressed in pajamas while holding lined popcorn buckets we'd be puking in. She slightly trailed off and on. And then this one guy, Bigsby, aka Jack Fidel, laid out a thought-provoking narration and introduction to the shaman, Nina. We had to prepare for the ceremony by fasting and refraining from alcohol and spicy foods. Sexual abstinence was demanded. There they had music, dancing, and M. Night shamanistic prayers. Stevie finally downed her second martini and listened to this endless entertainment. It's like she didn't even have to be there. Lily didn't need to know her. Webster didn't need to know her. Agent Dude didn't need to know her. The three of them didn't need to know each other. It was just a kind of third place that they all happened to be. So we blasted off harder than Jim Morrison or Jimi Hendrix. We broke on through. Oh, and dance parties and finger painting. Lily whimsically drew circles and stars in the bar with her ring finger with a splash of vodka she probably spilled while rambling off to nobody. Her voice was slowly coming to a lull. It was just pure, purely pure. Just real, honest to God psychoanalysis from totally unqualified sources. It's mostly about making the most blatantly obvious observation regarding the most universally shared life experience and emphatically hitting each word with the most profound tone and an unquestionably authentic inflection. It's like the voice of Matthew McConaughey. That actually sounds pure, Stevie nodded while the words, all right, all right, all right, began to float around in her head.